You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
People are demanding us now, not 25 seconds from now.
Now. We're already late.
We're already live. Welcome to the second podcast of 2013. I don't know what number this is. 9, 10, 11, 12. It is the January 16th episode of KoopaCast. And I'm joined here with my fellow Purenintendo people. And I want to start with an interesting question. And I want you answer this, but listen closely to the question. What is the better franchise, Star Trek or Star Wars? Overall franchise. And so we're introduced. We'll start with Myra to the right. Matt, you can introduce yourself and answer the question.
Hey, I'm Matt. I'm a contributor to Pure Nintendo Magazine. Ah, shoot. You're always with these questions, putting us on the spot. Franchise-wise, oh man. Business-wise, you have to, I guess Star Wars is the better one. But community-wise, Star Trek's pretty good. Their actors are just really out there reaching with the community.
Kevin?
I'm Kevin. And I would have to go with Star Wars. Only because I didn't grow up with Star Trek, and Star Wars has Battlefront and Knights of the Old Republic game-wise, and I thought those games were amazing. So,
Nick?
All right, I'm Justin. Let's see, this is a tough one. My wife's a big Trekkie, so, but she likes Star Wars too, so... I mean, I would probably say Star Wars that I enjoy more. And the universe is really rich. They've got a lot of different races and everything in there. But so does Star Trek, but and there aren't any good Star Trek video games. So I'd probably say Star Wars.
All right, I'm Jay Money, and both universes are extremely popular. My favorite, hands down, has to be Star Wars, though, no question.
All right. The reason I asked this question, and I'll give my answer here, is I'm part of this Nerd Nation group on Facebook. And someone asked, he came up and said, he's like, you know what? I really don't enjoy the Star Wars movies. But he brought up a good point, which some of you brought up, is that the video games are absolutely amazing. Like, Knights of the Old Republic is one of my favorite video games of all time. And so as a franchise, even though the only good movies to me are the first three, I would have to go with Star Wars. But like movie-wise, it would be Star Trek. Because overall, like, most of those movies are great. But as a franchise, I would have to go with Star Wars just by, like what a lot of you guys said, is just the video games. I love most of the Star Wars video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So on to our first topic. We'll start with a light topic because our main topic may get heated. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go. So we'll start with something light. And I like to... We were talking earlier, we don't know how old Pure Nintendo is. We're like 7, 8, 9. We're older than Pure Nintendo Magazine. A lot of you guys probably came in a Pure Nintendo Magazine. We're a lot older than that. And we've had a lot of great experiences throughout the years of freezing to death, traveling far, long nights. But I actually want to talk about one of my favorite experiences. and it's not counted meeting someone. We'll talk about that next week. But it did happen at E3, and it happened 2010. Mm-hmm. And so Kevin and Justin were there. I was hoping Eli would be here. But it was during Activision's giant party they threw at the Staples Center. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys, if you other two were following. At the time, Activision didn't have a booth in 2010. They decided, hey, we don't want a booth. They threw this giant party at the Staples Center. I think, what was it? Tuesday night, or was it Monday night? Monday night.
I think it was Monday night. Yeah, yeah, before everything. Because we had to get up early the next morning for Nintendo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was a... We got like 3 hours of sleep that night. But they literally rented out the whole Staples Center. Provided a whole bunch of, like, they opened up the concession stands, and it was all on Activision. You can go and be like, I want everything.
Yep.
And they provided all this food, plus they had other food hanging around.
But are you going to tell our seating?
Yes. The seating is what interesting, because we didn't know where to go. They had this, like, we heard Eminem apparently was late because he was one of the performers. We heard him doing a sound check, but everyone's kind of standing around, kind of like, where do we go? And so we started wandering around. I don't know whose idea it was to go upstairs. Or when we got into a line that people were just randomly lining up in. Like people from IGN were in there. Actually, the guy was behind us. Giant Bomb, guys. What is the, name of the site? That's the name of the podcast.
Yeah, Giant Bomb. They used to be with GameSpot.
Yeah, they were. I think they were standing behind us. Anyway, so we all just started lining up in this line and ended up taking us to the VIP section of Staples Center, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And so we had the what are they called?
The box seats.
The box seats. So we randomly just walk into a box seat. The one that's exactly across from the stage. So across from the stage with the perfect seats. We go and we sit down. They had drinks. They had food in the box seats. Long story short about the box seats, we were in there with one of the executives from Activision and his family were next to us. We weren't supposed to be there, long story. Like 10 minutes after we sat down, we saw all the other journalists kind of go below us in the normal seats below us.
Oh.
And we were like, remember, we took our badges off. We hit them.
Yeah. Because everyone's like nicely dressed because they're like executives and investors. Yeah. And so we just kind of stay to ourselves and we're like, Don't look around. We don't look apart, but don't look around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they had great performance. They had Eminem perform.
Usher
performed.
Didn't Rihanna come out?
Rihanna came out with Eminem and did that.
Wasn't Eddie Vedder, wasn't he there?
Yeah. Eddie Vedder did Black Hole Sun with a 50-piece orchestra.
Yeah. Tony Hawk skateboarded.
Which was actually lame. And I thought I would say that about Tony Hawk, because he was supposed to do a trick, but they couldn't bring, I don't know if they were going to bring a half pipe in or what, but they couldn't get into the Staples Center in time. So he tells us, like, oh, I was supposed to do all these tricks and stuff, but we couldn't get it in, so I'm not.
Yeah, and so he went up a ramp and walked off stage. We're like, cool.
Nice. Yeah, he literally just, like, went up and then that's it.
Now that for us next time, they'll be like, all right, we got to watch out for these guys.
And they had one of the greatest covers of Bohemian Rhapsody. I think it was the lead singer of Tool. I may be wrong. You guys remember?
I don't even remember that song.
Dude, Bohemian Rhapsody did the whole 6 minutes of it, whatever.
Oh, I know the song. I don't remember from the concert.
I remember being really tired at the end. But
yeah, that was a... Yeah, I like how they instead of having a booth, or having a conference, they kind of had each game tied in with each performer. Mm-hmm. And so the big game that year for them was first Black Ops. So that was tied into Eminem at the end. So they showed a trailer and then he sang a few songs and showed more footage. And they had some DJs come out for a DJ Hero.
Oh, yeah. Dead Mouse is there.
Yeah, Dead Mouse.
He was good. I like Dead Mouse.
Yeah, so, I didn't know who he was at the time. I just
I don't know.
He was a guy with a mouse.
The mouse hat.
Yeah.
I still don't know who that is. I'm familiar with the logo, but I don't know who that is.
Oh, it's just some DJ.
Some guy.
Good times.
Yeah.
So where are we sneaking into this time?
I could tell a funny story about sneaking in.
Do it.
Actually, the first E3 I went to, I snuck in. I corresponded with Nintendo. This was in 2008, I think. And I was able to get an invitation to their press conference. And so I was like, oh, this is awesome. Going to the press conference, whatever. Well, end up going, and it was at the Kodak Theater where they do the Oscars and everything. And so I got really good seats there. It was like on the second row. That was the year that they did, they had like Shaun White on stage and they debuted like Wii Music. It wasn't the best show they've ever done. But it was just exciting, like getting there early. Got to see Reggie, Iwata, and Miyamoto walk in to the theater. They walked in like right past me. I was just taking pictures out front. And then, so I was a little starstruck. And then when I got over to E3, I didn't have a badge. And I was like, hey, I'm here with Pure Nintendo, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, we don't see you on the list. And I was like, well, I just came from Nintendo's press conference. And so I didn't know at the time that, you know, an invitation to Nintendo's press conference didn't necessarily mean you had an E3 badge. So I was like, oh man, this sucks, because I've already, you know, flown out here for E3. So, you know, I had my wristband from Nintendo's press conference, so I had that going for me, and they're like, well, just, you know, just go ahead and go in to E3 and, you know, talk to someone upstairs, and they should be able to get you, like, a temporary badge or whatever. So I went up there, and they gave me... they wouldn't give me a badge, but they gave me like a wristband or something. And the entire time I just kept the wristband and just never talked to the main guy, and just walked around E3 and went to all the different events and meetings upstairs and all that. And yeah, but it was pretty fun. The security guards at the convention center would always ask me where my badge was. And I was like, oh, they gave me this wristband, so they said they didn't have any more badges. And so I just cruised around. And but anyways, it was a small E3, too. So they didn't even actually have...
That was one at the hotels.
Yeah, they had it at a bunch of hotels, and then they just had the upstairs meeting rooms. So they didn't even have the big open show floors, the whole South Hall and West Hall. It was just a small little hall in between that the whole E3 was in. But anyways, it was a fun show. I got a picture with Reggie, and but it was fun. Anyways.
We're never getting to any more conferences, are we?
These guys can't.
They're not listening. We've been to 4 or 5 since then, so they're good.
Yeah, we made up for it.
Yeah. Oh man.
See, one thing I like about us, I'm not, and maybe sound a little biased, but we do things. Like, we'll just go, hey, we're gonna do this, and we do it. like one good big example is, what was it, 2011, when they talked Skyward Sword at Nintendo's press conference and all that. We had front row seats. We would nowhere near the front row center seats.
Yeah,
we were nowhere near the first people in the auditorium. It was probably 100 people ahead of us.
There were several Japanese people, investors, I don't know, that wanted those seats, and were...
Well, we sat there.
we sat there, and then there's some other people next to us that got, like, taken out. Like, they were sitting right next to us, and they got escorted back, and... they were quite upset, but James and I were right there in front.
Front and center, and we were on TV. Yeah. I like how the next year they had the first four rows blocked off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next year, to make sure no one sits there, they were all blocked off and said VIP or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool at 2011 because they had those kiosks that came up at the very front, mm-hmm. where you could play Skyward Sword right there. And so we're like, oh, okay. So we just got right up and started playing, and everyone else lined up. Was that the same year they did the 3DS, or is that
the same year they had all those like 50-100 women come out?
Yeah, so that was 2010, wasn't it? Oh no, 2011.
Yeah, it was 2011. Yeah. So yeah, they had Skyward Sword, and then they had 3DS when you left, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was cool.
We will never be allowed in ever again.
We do what we want.
Yeah. I won't tell you the story from last year, but it's too fresh in their memories, probably.
We do whatever we want except for Nintendo's booth, because they have some pretty big bodyguards there. They have these huge guys that just wander around. So you don't want to get in trouble there.
Big bouncers.
Although it was really cool for the round table last year. We were like the last ones in, but we ended up sitting directly behind Reggie.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's playing Mario Tennis the entire time, not paying attention.
So for people who think Reggie doesn't play games or he's all all talk, he plays a lot of games. In fact, he didn't listen to a single word the developers were talking. He was just sitting there and he was playing with his Mii, and then he played Mario Tennis for 30 minutes at least.
Every once in a while, he would nod. The obligatory nut.
He had his glasses on, and so he would, he was playing, and then he'd look.
Because honestly, he had his script already. So he walks up, introduces, walks out, walks back up. Thanks, so and so. Thanks, so and so. Thanks, so and so. See you guys later. And that's all he was there to do.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You're doing the outro, Reggie. he's a cool guy. He's fun.
During business meetings.
Yeah. At least he's playing Nintendo games.
Pulls out the Vita. Oh.
Oh, what, Reggie, what are you doing?
How come we don't have a touch screen in the back?
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. They were Miyamoto's official Mii was going around.
Yeah. That was
like cool. All the people at that round table got it. He had some poor intern just clearing his Miiverse, trying to get to out to all of us to get his official.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. Although I feel bad. Always the third day, Miyamoto looks like he's been in a train wreck because he's so tired and jet lagged.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that the second day we met him?
Yeah, second day. That's because he was booking it out. He's like, he just wanted to go home. And, of course, we stopped him.
Yeah, we stopped him. We want a picture.
Crazy. That's a story for next week.
Oh, my bad.
That's a whole different story. Yeah. But anyways, on to our main topic. As a lot of you know, there's video games back in the news. We're not here to talk about why. But back in the news in a negative light. And we have a variety of people here. Some married, some getting married, some have kids. And Matt, I don't know. Sorry, I don't know what.
What's your Facebook status, Matt?
Facebook status, Matt.
Oh, man. I'm just sad now.
Sorry, Matt.
Well, we have a variety of people here. So we're going to have to get people's opinions on this. And actually, I was hoping to start with Jay Money. He's the only one that has a child. And what is your opinion on violence in video games? And do you think there's a correlation between violence and video games?
My opinion is we should burn them all. No, I'm joking. I'll start by saying that when I was younger, my parents never allowed violent video games in our house. When I was younger, I was not allowed to play anything over like a certain age rating. So I was played a lot of sports games, a lot of driving games. That's why I'm so good at those. Mm-hmm. And other games like platformers and stuff like that. I mean, when I got older, I'd go over to a friend's house and I'd like play Doom or something like that. That was probably my first violent video game I ever played. And I really never ever saw a problem with it because it's not real. And that's, I guess, what I don't understand about the whole issue with video games is you're not actually going out and killing somebody else. You're not going out and hunting animals or whatever for real. It's all video. There's nothing real about any of it. And yeah, it mimics some of the behaviors and whatnot, but it's just, I think the whole argument's ridiculous. My stepson, we kept him from playing violent video games for a while, but then after a while, his friends were like, we're playing Call of Duty, and he's like, I want to play Call of Duty too. So we ended up kind of breaking down and, you know, getting him the games. But in my opinion, it hasn't changed necessarily who he is or the values that we've instilled in him. And they like tend to view violent video games like, if you play this game, you're going to turn evil. And I don't necessarily think that's really true. And people, and I think a lot of it might be that older adults didn't really grow up with video games. And so they really don't understand how people react to them, really. That's kind of maybe why I think they're having this extreme reaction to violence in video games.
Anyone else? Here's my thing. Well, here's my... I think Kevin was in that class with me. I think it was a mass communication class. We're talking the history of the media. And like every major media advancement, when it became radio or became TV, color TV, internet, video games, there was always a giant backlash when it first started getting popular. When radio came out, there was this big, oh no, you can't say this, you can't do this. Then TV was the same way. TV's from the devil. Everyone's going to hell. And it was a blind backlash for each involvement of media. And now we're just in that stage of video games. Because now video games are hitting mainstream. Well, I guess I don't want to say that. It's not true. This is a long backlash. It's been going on for 20 years, I guess, since Mortal Kombat. But I don't know.
I think video games will always be a scapegoat for this type of thing, just because it's interaction between the player and something happening on screen, and so there's user input into it. So I think the next 30 years we'll have this issue. And I do think certain video games may desensitize you to certain things, but I don't think it's going to outright cause violence in any way, because I think it's just like if I watch a lot of, you know, cursing movies, I'm naturally... if someone curses, I'm not going to think twice about it if I surround myself with cursing. But you can't compare that to violence. It's not like because I watch a bunch of violent movies, I'm going to go out there and do all sorts of things. The same with video games. I just think it may desensitize certain players.
Exactly. Like I was my personal feeling on this is that if it wasn't video games, it's going to be something else. Like you people... well, why not violent movies or violent books who talk about killings or music or whatever? It's not, you can't put it on video games. Like if you want to blame something, you can blame everything as a whole, and I guess you could have a strong argument about that. But just to pick out video games and go, oh, this is the cause, well, no, there's movies, there's even books, there's music, there's pictures, there's a ton of other media out there that can cause a reaction that they're blaming video games for.
I mean, if you're going as far as like pictures and stuff too, there's violence in art.
Exactly.
I mean, there's art that depicts violence. So should we ban all art too?
Yeah. But you got to remember, video games aren't art, so.
Yeah. that's a different argument.
That's a totally different argument.
Yeah, go ahead, James.
No, go ahead. I was gonna move on.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it seems like you said, yeah, every, you know, advancement in media, you know, there's a backlash. So, you know, I could see even in like in 10 years, let's say video games advance to, you know, virtual reality. You know, you kind of have this, you know, games haven't really, you know, they've become more realistic, but haven't quite advanced to the virtual reality like, you know, some of the 80s sci-fi movies, you know, portrayed. But with the Oculus Rift, you know, VR goggles that were shown at CES and, you know, that Kickstarter last year, you know, VR may not be that far off. And so, you know, I could see, you know, VR becomes the next big thing, then, you know, maybe video games won't necessarily be the scapegoat as much. You know, VR will be the next, you know, oh, now they're actually acting it out with their hands and their, you know.
What was that big Wii game that? Manhunt?
Manhunt 2.
Manhunt 2, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't really necessary that it was because there was a whole bunch of blood and violence in it. It was that people are using the Wiimote,
yeah,
kind of, so, to as a knife. You know, it wasn't didn't really work that way. But I just, yeah, how people perceived it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't necessarily think that, yeah, just because you play a bunch of violent video games, you'll do violent acts. You know, I think, you know, when they have these people that do these violent acts, they dig and they research and they're like, oh, he was playing this game or he liked this game. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, you know, he could have liked, you know, other movie, you know, some movie, or, you know, it doesn't necessarily make everyone who plays that game have those tendencies. So.
My question asks, if I save someone from a burning house fire, how do they know I don't play video games and that impacted that? You know, saving someone from video games. I mean, I'm just saying, I know that's silly to say, but it's like something terrible happens. It's video games' fault. But how come that can't happen on the positive side either? Like, because I play video games, I'm more inclined to.
Yeah.
Well, and you kind of see the same thing going on with, like, for instance, the whole gun control thing now. I don't really want to get into that because that's a whole, like, off-topic thing. But, like, since these school shootings occurred, they're like, okay, well, now we got to take away guns because guns is obviously the issue. And it's not necessarily, in my point of view, the issue. The issue is who the person is or maybe what kind of environment they grew up in, or, you know, it's a whole different ball game, but
no, I think it.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you can go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I would say I agree with that. It's about, you can't blame the video games. You blame the player or the parents. Like, mm-hmm. You can't be held video games accountable for someone deciding to purchase and then play something. That's that's someone making that choice to do that. And so I feel like it's hard to make it about video games when they're just providing a product that you may or may not buy. It's completely up to you.
Right, right.
So here are B ratings, which is very clear of what a video game is all about. But it's not really, there's no, like, there's now more movement in, I guess you can call our government for to force those ratings, but it's not like movies. Like, you can, like, there's a set rules, like, you can't have to be 16 to see an R-rated, 17 in some places. It's all right if you go with a parent, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think what I'm getting at. It's fine for movies. That system works for movies. Why can't it not work for video games? Why can't it just go on the parent and say, hey, M video game, if you're under 17, you can't have it, make it illegal, make fines. And then if a parent buys it for them, it's the parent's fault.
I think what's hard is, isn't video games self-regulated?
Yeah, no, that's the issue. It is self-regulated.
So it's like until you have to have something like a government set something to start ruling, you know, the ratings, I don't think that will ever come to that. But I agree, James, it should be exactly like that. Because then we wouldn't have the problem. It'd be whoever sold it to them or the parents.
Because it's clear, like, I've had, when I worked at Best Buy, parents would ask me a ton of questions about video games. I'm like, you see this right here? Here's a rating system. And I always compared M games to R movies. I'm like, do you let your kids watch R movies? No. Well, then you probably don't want to play the M games. And here's why. There's blood, there's nudity, there's whatever in here. And then we at Best Buy, we actually had a whole rating scale sheet that we could hand out to people. Not everyone does that at Best Buy.
Well, and I think retailers should be more, maybe more responsible with it. Not saying that, it's the retailer's fault, but maybe putting it like big out there on a sign or something, the ratings, like this is what this means. Because a lot of places don't even post those sorts of things.
Yeah, and they should do something like, have you ever bought at like Walmart and where a lot of times it would go through and says check ID on the register?
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're honestly not 18, they just skip it, but they should be like, okay, are you aware that this is a so-and-so game? That's all they need to say, an M-rated game, just so it makes the parent aware of what they're buying. Because I know my grandma, I think, bought me a couple games. She didn't know what they were, and, you know, just guessed.
But, yeah, didn't know that it was an M-rated game or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, I think parents should probably self-educate themselves, too. We can't, like...
Yeah.
But you push the blame off to a lot of people.
So going back to the self-educate, because of the video game industry is self-regulated, do you think that education should come from the video game industry themselves? Like, hey, we know there's issues out here. Let's show you these games.
I think maybe if the video game industry were to, I don't know, I would say a commercial is probably not the right medium, but something, it might help the video game industry to take some of the blame off of them or redirect the blame, I guess, is the best way to put it, if they were to take it upon themselves to try and put more education out there to parents.
I also think a big problem is just, I think a lot of parents or the older generation, they don't realize what video games is now. They still think it's the simple, you know, old games. Like, they don't think they're mature titles. You're killing people, gore, sexuality. I know a lot of people just think, oh, you know, the one that plays Frogger. Yeah, video games, stuff like that. Yeah. Well, I'm actually being serious. I know a lot of people that don't realize what video games can encompass. Like, so I think that's going to be a hard hurdle to take care of. But I'm curious what it'll be like in 30 years when, you know, our current generation is parents, grandparents, you know, how that will, if that will shift.
Yeah, I was about to bring up that point that Kevin just did, is that I noticed that the younger generation that had kids, they were a little bit wiser when it came to video games. Like, I ran into a lady, once again, working at Best Buy. She was on a phone looking at stuff, looking at the game, back of the game, and she was on the phone. I asked her, because we had to talk to everyone, I asked her, like, she needed help, and what, like, and I was like, what exactly? I saw that she had, what site it was, some site that had a review on there. And I was like, oh, what exactly are you looking for? And she was like, oh, I'm just comparing with reading views on the game, seeing why it's this way, or why is it violent? If it's just shooting, I don't care. But she's like, I don't want, like, sex or over violent blood gore everywhere, but, like, so some shooting. So she was actually educating herself in the store. Then she started asking me a whole bunch of questions once I was there. So with the employee and her smartphone and looking at the back of the box. But then you get those little bit older generation on the total opposite of the spectrum. They're like, I don't care. Oh, you know, this game has violence and shows, has nudity and all that. I don't care. And the kid's like 8 years old. So you still got the two extremes, but it does seem like our younger parents are a little more keen to... immerse themselves in that world, understand exactly what their kids are planning. Something like that. So like Kevin says, it would be interesting to see once we all start going older, our generation, like how would that, is that argument going to go away, or how is it all going to change?
We shall see.
We all got very solemn.
I know. I was like, I hope we all see.
Yeah. I was like, we're going to be old. I guess we're already pretty old.
Yeah, pretty old already.
All right, what's next?
Well, we got a question on Twitter.
Oh.
Forwarded by Nate.
It's from Michael Castillo, and he said, it's not really a question. He just, Pokemon Wii U, thoughts?
Oh, Pokemon Wii U.
Was there exclamation, or what was the speedy?
It was question, exclamation mark.
Oh.
So what do we think about if a Pokemon game did come to the Wii U?
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to happen for a long time since the 3DS ones were just announced. But
yeah, are we talking about like the main series Pokemon or like a Pokemon Stadium?
I'm going to talk about the main series.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome, but that would be so ambitious. Like, to be able to do it right, there's so many hurdles to overcome.
Yeah, and you'd almost want it to be the only one rather than making the handheld RPGs and then also making a console RPG. You'd almost want it to be a mainline franchise.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting, did you guys see that news yesterday that Nintendo merged their research and development, hardware development company or factory or whatever?
Yeah, I posted about it.
See, the GameMoney posted up about it. And it's kind of interesting because basically now their handheld hardware development, section of their company and their console hardware development are going to be working in the same space. So they'll be able to collaborate and work together on the future of Nintendo handhelds and consoles. And what's interesting about it is, we've kind of heard some rumors about the 3DS becoming like a controller for the Wii U and all this. But it's interesting with the Wii U kind of, blurring the lines between a handheld and a console. I wonder if, in the future, handhelds and consoles will be more merged. So like Nintendo's next system may just be, a handheld and a console, all in one. And then at that point, I think you could easily see a Pokemon game because at that point it would be completely portable like a handheld because they've never wanted to do a mainline RPG on a console because it's always about, going out with your friends, trading, all about the communication and being able to play wherever you are. So I think until that happens, you won't see a mainline RPG on a console. But it could happen if Nintendo does, go that route with handheld and console, which would be really cool.
Yeah, but now a Pokemon Snap game should happen.
Absolutely. Yes, good. Oh my goodness, yeah, and Pokemon Snap would be incredible, and they could use they've already developed the high resolution 3D models of all the Pokemon for the iOS app. The iOS app. If you've got a Retina iPad. You can see, high resolution. You can see all the detail and all these moves that they've developed for the Pokemon. So I think, they've got to be able to take advantage of that on the Wii U.
Yeah, dude, just think of like an endless ocean open world, but in Pokemon.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
I'm going to write Nintendo tonight. I'm going to send him a letter.
Send him a love letter.
Start a petition.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's definitely got to happen. I mean, it may not be on the Wii U, a mainline one, but they've got to do something Pokemon-wise on the Wii U. They did several, experiments with Pokemon on the Wii. Let's see, what do they have? They have Pokemon Battle Revolution was the last stadium game.
I think they'll definitely do a stadium game. That just makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah. And I think it'll actually... it may come out this year, maybe early next year, because usually the stadium games have followed a major generation launch on the handheld. So, if this is major generation, they haven't really confirmed how many new Pokemon there'll be. Seemed like I was hearing like 70 or 80, something like that, for the new 3DS ones. So, which the last generations have added like 100 or something like that, around that area.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but yeah, new stadium would be really cool. I think it was actually the first online game on the Wii, wasn't it?
It was. And remember, we went out and bought it, and they looked at us weird. We're all like, three guys, and we were like 18, 19, 20. I don't remember, maybe 20.
Yeah.
Pokemon Stadium.
And what? I think the online was still better than Brawl.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a shame. Yeah, that was a fun one. Although Strikers probably had the best online on the Wii.
Yeah. The Mario Kart was pretty good too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mario Kart was good too. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Pokemon Wii U. That would be awesome.
That would be. Oh well, real quick, they need to port that iOS game or Pokemon Pokedex whatever to the Wii U.
Yes.
There's no reason not to put it on there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yep.
All right, last question for this.
Uh-huh.
I had a lot of time because I was driving. I had a lot of time to think what franchise I want brought back. Like what franchise I had the most fun with kind of disappeared.
Are you talking about since like the inception of video games?
Yeah, something that you enjoyed maybe as a kid or whatever you want brought back now. And jeez. We'll start with
everything.
Everything. We'll start with Matt.
Frogger.
Huh? Frogger.
Frogger. That way all those older generations can be right. It is the game with the Frogger.
There you go.
J Money.
E.T. No, just joking.
Yeah. Superman, 64.
I remember running that game.
Here's a game that was in development at one point and never really made it out, and I think it would be really cool if they came out with it, is StarCraft Ghost.
Ah,
yeah.
Definitely.
That'd be cool. Kevin?
I mean, James, that's I could spend days on this. I come back to me.
I got one.
Yeah.
Rogue Squadron.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
That is a good one. Speaking of that, also Battlefront 3.
Oh, yes.
But that may not be my number one, but definitely that.
Justin?
So, like, any franchise, Nintendo franchise, I guess.
Doesn't matter anything, but...
I mean, I've always been a big fan of Wave Race or 1080. I think those would be cool to come back. I mean, the Metroid games haven't been that far gone, but I want another Metroid. So maybe that's not long enough for the franchise to be revived, but...
I thought of the one I want. It's not. It was on Nintendo systems, but not by Nintendo. But I want a new Banjo game, a true 3D platform Banjo and Kazooie.
Yes.
On Nintendo platforms.
Well, of course. I mean, that's hands down.
Yeah, that's the coming back to Nintendo.
Yeah. What was that rumor? Not that, that long ago.
They're gonna buy the intellectual property. Was that the rumor?
I think so. It'd be interesting.
All right, my game is going to be a shocker to Kevin and Justin, who actually hated this game, but we played it a lot in college. I don't know if can you guys see the YouTube I'm sharing. I added. I don't know if you guys will be able to see it in the podcast. I don't care. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if you guys if this is going to show up in the podcast.
It says I have to allow access.
I see it. I see it.
Yeah.
Close your eyes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Close your eyes.
Really?
I guess you guys have allow access.
How do I allow access?
I just did.
How do I allow access? I don't have it.
Click on YouTube in the left.
Oh. Okay. Got it.
Okay. Yeah. You guys ready?
Yeah.
I want another Rock Band or Guitar Hero.
That is so surprising. James hated these.
Yeah, geez, what made you want that? Because you would absolutely.
But we had the most fun playing. It's way true. Through the night playing Guitar Hero, Rock Band. It didn't matter which one. We weren't prejudiced against them. You know? I hate them because I sucked at them. I never get up. Everyone would be playing on hard or difficult. It would be easy, like one well, button.
You know, James, you can still buy Rock Band, and they have like.
But I want a new one. I want the new music, though. Yeah. I know they're still coming out with songs.
No, they come out with songs every Friday. We get those press releases.
I know, but I want them to redo the whole thing.
Start over.
It's hard to find guitars. As it was 2 years ago, it was hard to find anything, really.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, Rock Band 3 didn't come out that long ago. 2 years? Year and a half? Maybe it was 2010, October 2010 or something like that.
Well, what happened is Activision decided no more Guitar Hero, basically.
Or 2011.
And then Rock Band, you know, the...
Harmonix.
Yeah, it got bought out by Mad Catz.
Uh-huh.
And then Mad Catz is like, well, we don't know exactly. Like, you can buy, I think you may be able to buy stuff off the store, but they're not really in retail stores that much anymore. Like, every once in a while, you may find a guitar and stuff. But it's needed. We do it. We do the guitars. We do the drums. Release the whole thing again. 100 new songs. Right out of the box.
100 new songs. They already got all the songs.
Well, 100 new ones. Make a Blink 182 Rock Band.
Yeah. I know. I would have loved some sort of Blink 182 themed one. Yeah.
I wonder how, if they do reintroduce it, what they're going to do to differentiate it from the older, if they're going to try to evolve it more.
Because
a bunch of companies have tried to do the one that teaches you guitar. And that was only moderately successful.
Yeah, was that the Rocksmith one?
Yeah,
the
Rocksmith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you have the, what was the Konami one?
Oh, my goodness.
That it was the so worst thing. They had it side-scrolling.
That is total.
Oh, my goodness.
It's total meme-worthy, that video.
Oh, so you guys should look it up sometime. It is painful how
YouTube awesome it, James.
Terrible it is.
Yes. Wait, yeah, YouTube where they debut it. Okay, so these are people that work at Konami. Granted, they may just be like PR people, but they're playing it on stage, and you have to know, if you're doing a live demo of a game, you need to have practiced.
Yeah, practice it.
So you don't look like a complete idiot. They failed the song within like 40 seconds or something. It's like... It was terrible.
Well, the thing with me in the music genre is that I enjoyed Guitar Hero in those games when it first came out. Mm-hmm. And then it like exploded and everybody was doing it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, enough already. I'm sick of it. I'm over it already. It was...
Let's move on.
Yeah, it kind of got oversaturated very quickly.
See, about the time you were feeling that, Konami decided... Let's take this popular franchise and make it worse.
Yeah, let's make it a terrible version. Oh, man.
Okay, Wii Music was not much better.
Yeah, well...
Wii Music was awful. I got Wii Music, and it was interesting, but, man, that game did not last long in my house.
What it really should have been, it should have been like a mini game in another bigger game.
Yeah.
Because there's some cool stuff in it, and every once in a while I'd play it, but it would not hold my attention for like an hour at a time.
Right.
It was bad in a different way.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't a bad game. It was interesting.
Yeah, but...
What was the game called? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
I can find it real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, let's look for Konami, Guitar Hero, Clown. Rock Revolution. There you go.
I've heard of that game. I've never played it, though, or seen it being played. Well, this should be fun.
Here it is. Rock Revolution E3.
Yeah, E3 2008 presentation mess up clip video.
Oh.
Yeah, Konami exec fails at her own game.
But yeah, I guess it wasn't horizontal. It was just straight up and down.
Yeah, but like the fact that it's just two-dimensional like that.
But I actually remember it being more painful than that for some reason.
Yeah, it was a lot more painful in person. Oh, man.
Well, I guess that's it for this episode of the KoopaCast.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week, and we'll talk about how we met a special someone at E3.
We didn't spoil that.
We didn't spoil that. Where did my banner go? Anyways, see you guys next time.